So as we gather here tonight, I want us to take a moment and consider the night 2,000 years ago or so that we are remembering and celebrating. It was a night where the unimaginable was taking place. Picture this, surrounded by livestock, the sounds of a woman can be heard as she labors to bring her first child into the world. With each labor pain, we are one step closer to having God enter into his creation. Just pause for a moment, and can you imagine what that must have been like to be there? Bathed in the light of God's presence, surrounded by the unseen angels of glory, as they're watching over the birth of the King, to be someone that gets to look down on the face of God as he is wrapped, not in the garments of a king, but instead in the simple cloth of a common man. The light of the world had come, but still, darkness still surrounded them. This baby came for a purpose that had not yet been fully realized. We celebrate his birth, but this is only the beginning of the story. The purpose of Jesus' incarnation includes a cross and eventually an empty tomb. Imagine for a moment the world that Jesus entered into. The prophet Isaiah gives us insight into this world, and we can relate to it still today. He stated that the people are distressed and they are left wandering in life. Everywhere you look, there is simply darkness, fear, and gloom. It is a world that is fractured. There is division, there is conflict, there is the constant weight of the unknown, which can leave people feeling confused and in a continual cycle of hopelessness. Ultimately, it is a world where mankind is separated from God. The world was in chaos. People are oppressed and overwhelmed. At every turn, people are confronted with reasons for despair and cynicism. But the most significant issue is the evil that exists in the hearts of people. This evil is revealed by our selfishness that drives each and every one of us, our nature to prioritize our own foolish kingdom. Mankind, the Bible tells us, is driven by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God even declares that the heart of mankind is wicked and that we are all darkness. The Bible says, like sheep, we have all gone astray. We, as mankind, have a very serious problem, but God does not leave us alone in this world. Hope has come, and his name is Jesus. The light of the world has pierced the darkness in his birth. This baby who lays in a manger has come not to improve our world. He has not come to improve your life. Instead, he has come to completely transform it. This is accomplished through each life that is surrendered to him, stepping out of darkness and into his marvelous light. The Bible declares that this is Emmanuel, God with us. The God who we are separated from has done the impossible. He has done that which we cannot do for ourselves. He has made his dwelling among us. When I think about this night and the events of Jesus' birth, I spend time considering what Joseph and Mary must have experienced through all of this. What did they feel? What were they thinking? I wonder what some of the conversations were between them as they were preparing for this and then the night of his actual birth. I mean, really stop and think about it. Who in the world would believe that a woman would be pregnant, a virgin woman at that, would be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit? I wonder how often did these two struggle with feelings of doubt and fear or anger or even confusion through all of this. We even see in Scripture that Joseph himself failed to accept this at first. And if going through pregnancy isn't hard enough and difficult enough, imagine the emotional turmoil that they must have went through when they were required to travel over 100 miles to Bethlehem. Ladies, be honest. What would you have thought if your husband came to you when you were 9 months pregnant and said, "Hey, hop on the donkey. We're going on a road trip." It was a journey of several days. This would have been overwhelming. Imagine the discomfort that Mary felt. Imagine the helplessness that Joseph felt as every attempt he makes to bring comfort to his wife and unborn child falls short of truly bringing comfort. Imagine the anticipation you would have had when you see Bethlehem off in the distance, feeling this mixture of excitement that you were almost there, but also concern and possibility of even fear as the pains of labor begin. They arrive not to comfort, but no, they arrive to discover there's no place for them to find rest or comfort. Can you picture Joseph frantically looking throughout the city, trying to find a place for his pregnant wife where she could rest and their child could be born? But every place that he goes, he is turned aside with a simple no. Could you imagine Joseph's heart every time he would look back at his wife and look into Mary's eyes, the overwhelming storm of emotions that she was having because she knew the baby was going to be there soon? I wonder how often Mary and Joseph questioned what God was thinking to select them for such a responsibility. Did they ask, why would God select a poor carpenter who, I'm not even important enough to demand a room for the night. Why would God choose me? The questions and thoughts they must have wrestled with. I wonder how often they questioned themselves. I wonder how often they questioned God. Not maybe questioning him with an attitude of distrust, but questioning with an attitude of confusion on what in the world is God doing and why is he doing it? Were there moments that Mary and Joseph felt like they were losing their hope? But through everything that was happening to them, Joseph had an amazing promise that we still have today. God was with them. Emmanuel. This promise remains today. No matter the circumstances, the promise of Jesus still stands firm. Jesus declared, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you now and I will be with you always. My peace I give to you. I have overcome the world. And what is required for us today to experience this promise? Jesus simply says, it's this simple. Trust in me. Follow me. Tonight, is it possible that some of us can relate to Joseph and Mary? Have you ever found yourself questioning your circumstances? Questioning yourself? Asking why or struggling to understand what is God doing? Even to the point of questioning God's goodness, questioning God's love, or even questioning God's existence. We can even look at the darkness in the world that surrounds us and we want to know, even today, where is this light that is talked about? But tonight we declare that the light of Jesus remains still in our midst. So my encouragement for us is this, do not miss it. See, there's an unfortunate truth that when the child of hope entered into the world, most people completely missed it. In fact, let's say it this way, most people completely missed him. Again, picture this and what is happening. All of heaven had been waiting for this moment. The angels were waiting with anticipation, knowing that God's plan of redemption was about to be realized with the birth of Jesus. In my mind, I picture the heavenly host just standing at the gate, ready to burst onto the scene to bring glory and praise to God, but the Father telling them, not yet, boys, not yet. Wait, it's not yet time. The choir of angels waited for the moment that they could finally announce the birth of the Savior of the world. For generations, God had been providing signs and giving promises to how this would all happen, but the majority of people, unfortunately, completely missed it. King Herod, if you don't know the story well, let's just look at some of those characters. King Herod and all of the religious leaders of the nation, they missed it because they were consumed in keeping their control. Instead of seeing the birth of Jesus as this beautiful promise of hope, they focused more about what they would have to give up or what would be taken from them. They were not willing to surrender to the king. Today, people are still missing Jesus because there's this foolish assumption that we are in control of our lives. And this foolish assumption that Jesus is going to take more from us than what he truly gives. The innkeeper missed it. He missed it, and the Savior of the world was actually at his front door because he was too busy to pay attention. At that moment, his life was probably full of commotion, and he was overwhelmed with the many expectations that were placed on him by his responsibilities and maybe his job and his family. He was a busy man working and striving to complete his to-do list. His life was full. His time was spoken for. And he did not have time to worry about the coming of the Messiah. Maybe someday he would worry about things like this. But his life was too chaotic right now to pay attention. The commotion and busyness of life still today causes many to miss out on Jesus. An entire city missed it. All of Bethlehem missed the coming of Jesus. The star that shone bright above went unnoticed because an entire city slept through the birth of the king. Of course, we might say, well, that's what people do in the middle of the night, is they sleep. But the citizens of Bethlehem reveal an important truth, which is, we will never experience that which we are not looking for. They were probably so focused also on their day-to-day lives that they had become blind to the eternal things, which are far more important than the temporary. Life had become nothing more than a random series of events, to the point that when the glory of God was actually in their midst, he went completely unnoticed. Still today, many miss Jesus because our attention is always on what is temporary instead of what is eternal. Finally, the shepherds almost missed it. But they paid attention when the announcement came. God sent his own personal messengers to proclaim the birth of his son. They heard the message, and they made the choice to believe and to seek for themselves the child of hope. Because they were not willing to miss it, these men were the first to celebrate the birth of Christ. They were the first to look upon the face of God. They were the first to worship at the humble manger that held the Almighty. These men were not willing to let their lives be controlled anymore. And instead, they joyfully took hold of the promise that hope is now. The same message is being proclaimed tonight. Hope has come. Hope is here. Hope is now. And that hope is Jesus Christ. My question for us is this: do you have the hope of Jesus? Tonight, as we have gathered, have you discovered the truth that this baby that we celebrate came into the world for the purpose of being a sacrifice for you? That the baby placed in the manger is the actual Lamb of God who would eventually be placed on a cross so that you and I can be forgiven. That the light of the world has come to rescue us from darkness, to rescue us from judgment. And he does this by bringing us back into a relationship with God. This God that he brings us back into a relationship is the God that created you. He's the God that loves you. He's the God that wants you. This is why the great company of angels declared when Jesus' birth happened. They filled the sky to declare glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom God's favor rests. The God who we are separated from is inviting us to come back to him. Because I want you to hear something extremely important. The other option is separation from God for all eternity. But this is the hope that is here right now. His invitation is clear. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Put your faith in me. Learn from me. Follow me. Because I offer you real life. These are the words of Jesus. He offers eternal life. This is why we are here, to worship the one that is worthy of all glory, praise, and honor. Jesus, the giver of hope, who came before, is coming again. The arrival of Jesus the first time in this world was to give us hope through forgiveness and redemption. This forgiveness and redemption is made possible by his death and by his resurrection. We can't celebrate Christmas without understanding the significance of Easter. This is the grace that God offers to those who will receive it. Soon, Jesus, the one who saves us, will return. But this time, he no longer comes to save. He comes to reign. Jesus was born in humility, but is coming again in victory. He is no longer the suffering servant, but he will be the glorified God and King. What awaits Jesus when he returns is not a manger, but a throne. And he will return. When he returns, he will not go unnoticed like the first time. And instead, God declares that when he returns the second time, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. The hope that Jesus gives us is not just in what he has done, but it is in what he will do. He will enter his creation once again, but this time he will make all things new. This time he will not simply pierce the darkness, he's going to destroy it. Sin, evil, sickness, pain, despair, hatred, and everything else that manifests itself in the darkness of this world will be no more. Tonight we celebrate and rejoice with assurance and confidence the birth of Christ. And with the same assurance and confidence, I hope that you are here tonight having that confidence and assurance looking forward to the reign of Christ. The Savior has come, and soon the King is coming. Hear that again when we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the Savior has come, but realize the King is coming. In a moment, we are going to conclude with our candle lighting. Jesus declared that he is the light of the world, and he gives light to those who trust in him for their salvation and who have surrendered to him as Lord. As we finish this portion, I would ask Rob if you're ready to come up, and we will prepare here soon for the candle lighting. But we are called to let this light shine, the light that God gives to us through Jesus. We are called to let this light shine so that all will see the glory of God in and through our lives. The light that shines in us and through us declares that Jesus truly is the light of the world, that he is the Messiah, he is the Savior. He is the reigning King. That the hope he gives is real, and that all who believe in him have the right to be children of God. Tonight, as we light our candles, rejoice that the light has been given to us and dwells within us when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. But I want to take a moment, just for a moment, I just simply want to say this, because there's potentially people in this room that you have seen some negativity or some brokenness and hypocrisy when it comes to people that claim to be followers of Jesus. Let's just call it what it is and say that it is real. There are people that potentially have been wounded and hurt by those that profess the name of Christ. And it has caused you for some reason to look upon Christ in a way that he is never meant to be looked upon as. The failures of man is not the failures of Jesus. The tarnishment of man and those that claim the name of Christ is not the tarnishment of Jesus. This evening, as we do this and we think about sharing this light and the light that has come into the world, I want to encourage you If there's a part of you that rejects or shies away from the idea of who Jesus is and what he teaches and what he proclaims because of the brokenness of man, I encourage you, take your eyes off of broken man and put your eyes on where they belong, and that is Jesus. He is the light of the world. I will acknowledge that I am a broken man. The light that I have is not my own. I have no right to it whatsoever, but it's by the grace and glory of God that he gives me the light of holiness and righteousness. And it's only by his grace that any of us can even stand here before you and proclaim the faith that we have. We light our candles from the Christ candle tonight as a declaration that his light started in a manger, but has spread throughout the world. This simple light that came in an unnoticed small city in Israel over these centuries has spread across the world. The light of Christ that you have in your life, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, the light of Jesus that is in your life today can actually be traced all the way back to his birth, because people have shared the light of Jesus throughout every generation, leading all the way to you. And it continues as we share our light with those around us. As you receive the light, I encourage you to rejoice in your responsibility to actually share it. But if you are here tonight, and I really hope you listen to me, and just pause for a moment. You might have things you're leaving to go do with family, but this is the most important part of our entire evening, because I want you to hear the hope that Jesus wants to share with you. If you are here tonight and you have never trusted in Jesus, please hear the invitation that he is offering to you. Jesus says, come to me. Jesus says, I am here and I want you. I want to encourage you as we spend this time in our final moments of worship and we pass this light, this simple light from candle to candle, I want you to just pause and ask yourself, is the Spirit of God stirring in you tonight to surrender? Is the Spirit of God speaking to you in such a way that is telling you, I am real and I am here? And I want to encourage you that as you receive the light that is handed to you from the candle next to you, make the decision to not just simply receive a flame, but to truly receive Jesus. Declare to God your need for him, that you have sinned against him, that you are asking for and you're receiving his forgiveness, that you trust in Jesus as your Savior, and because of his great love, you surrender your life to him as Lord. Listen, anybody that claims to be a Christian has done that exact same thing. Father, I am a broken man, and I have sinned against you. And by your grace, I receive the forgiveness that is mine through Jesus Christ. And I surrender my life to you. The promise is announced. It's told to us in Scripture. It simply says this, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no greater gift that exists. Jesus extends to you the gift of eternal life. And in faith, I implore you to receive this gift by giving him the only gift he wants in return. And the only gift that Jesus asks in return is you. Isn't it amazing? If we really get honest with ourselves, every single one of us in the room, the brokenness that we all understand we have in our lives, the sin that we all have to address, isn't it amazing, even in the brokenness of who we are, the God of the universe still looks at us and says, the only thing I want more than anything else is you. And he makes that possible because he gave us the greatest gift of all. He gave us himself. I'm going to ask that our candlelighters come forward, and what we're going to do is I want you guys to see the significance of this moment. And this is one of the reasons I love this moment of candle lighting during Christmas Eve. Because as I shared before, this white candle in the middle represents Christ. This is the light of the world that entered into this, broke through the darkness. And at some point in time, somebody came along and received the light from Christ. And then they took the light that they received from Christ and they passed it on to somebody else. And then they passed it on to somebody else. And the only reason we are here tonight and able to even celebrate and rejoice and to worship is because God had the grace enough to allow His light to get shared from person to person to person until it finally reached you. And tonight, if you don't have that light in your life, you can receive it just as simply as just putting your faith and trust in Jesus.